You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 2. I'm just going to carry on what we've been ministering on the last couple of services. And actually, last Wednesday night, I started a message, and I called it, You Can Be Too Smart to Get This. That went over real big out there. You can't be too dumb to get this, but you can be too smart to get this. And I think most cases, it's not that we're so dumb, it's we're too smart. We know too much. Hello? We're smarter than God. We're smarter than the promise. We're smarter than the Word. We're smarter than what God says. And many times what God says seems like foolishness to us. Well, the Bible says the natural man, the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. And the foolishness of preaching, it's foolishness to those that perish. But you know what? We're not perishing. Hallelujah. And to those that believe, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. You know, people laugh and they make fun, do what they want to, but the Word's still true. Amen. And when a man's healed and standing there, or a woman's healed and standing there, there's an argument that just cannot be denied. All the philosophy, all the concepts, all the arguments, all the logic in the world can't refute the changed life. You know, I'm living proof to the gospel. My life is a testimony to what God has done. There really is no argument against my changed life. There's no philosophy or concept or theology against Jesus having saved me, took me out of drugs and jails, set me back on my feet again, put me in the ministry, and here I am, living proof to what Jesus can do. And your life is a proof. It is a living witness and a testimony of what God can do that cannot be argued or refuted. Now, we can talk doctrine, we can talk concepts, we can argue theology, but you say, you can't argue the fact that I've been saved. Hallelujah. You can't argue the fact I've been delivered and I've been set free. Praise God. It's too late. Don't tell me what Jesus doesn't do. It's already happened. Thank God. I received everything I got from God before I found out what He could not do. Hallelujah. See, I wasn't smart enough. I just believed it when I read it and it happened. Woo, and it came to pass. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. See, that's where we need to come to God with that childlike faith. God's not looking for just intelligence. Now, granted, He wants us to think. He doesn't want you to check your brain out at the door when you come into church. You know, you should think and reason, but you reason with Him. You don't reason with each other. He says, come, let us reason together. He didn't say, y'all go reason amongst yourselves. Hello? Because that's really where you get in trouble. Is when you go reason among yourselves. You need to reason with God. And if you take God out of the equation, in fact, you know, any philosophy that takes God out of the equation is not philosophically sound. And any logic that takes out the Word of God out of the logic is illogical. Because God is the ultimate fact of all facthood. Did you know that? And He's a fact. He's not an idea or a concept. He's real. You can't take Him out of the equation. Hallelujah. You know, often think about if there's a need in your life. If you limit God to all the ways of the natural that can happen, then you're not trusting God because God can do things that are not limited to the natural. Amen. You might say, well, I'm just going with the laws of physical laws or medical laws or mathematical laws. I heard it said this way. If you had a chest of drawer with a 6 pennies in the chest of drawer, the laws of mathematics demand that it be 6 pennies the next morning when you got up. Wouldn't that be true? But see, what the laws of mathematics don't allow for, someone could sneak in that room and put 3 more in there. Now, all we're saying, we talk about miracles and healings and things. We're not talking about suspending the laws of mathematics or suspending physical laws or medical laws. We're saying there's someone outside all those laws that steps in when we pray.
That's right.
Oh, you'll have to chew on that one. You know, y'all with me here tonight. See, it's illogical to leave God out of the picture. It doesn't make sense to take Him out of the equation. He is the ultimate fact of all facthood. And when you don't trust Him and you don't believe Him and you don't factor Him into your situation, you're going to miss your miracle because you become too smart to get it. Nicodemus started out, he was too smart to get it. You know, he came to Jesus by night. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he said to Jesus, oh, Jesus, no man can do these miracles you do except God be with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, being the smart guy that he was, he said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb? He was almost too smart to get it. See, he was going to miss his miracle because he's thinking totally in the natural, leaving God out. And Jesus turned right around and says, well, Nicodemus said to man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on, talks a little longer, and he says, are you a master and do you not understand these things? He said, if I talk to you of earthly things, how shall you understand heavenly things? See, he was almost too smart to get it. Now, he did get right, because we know at the tomb he was there with Joseph Arimathea, remember? He went with Joseph Arimathea to embalm Jesus' body. They didn't realize they didn't have to embalm it. Jesus didn't need the tomb. He was just renting it for 3 days. Hello. They really didn't bury Jesus. They just planted him. And what you plant comes back up. But anyway, he must have got right because he was there with Joseph Arimathea when they went to the tomb. And you know, lest we think, because I think sometimes we, if we're not really educated or if we hadn't had, you know, academic training, we tend to look down actually on people who do, and that's just as bad as it, someone who has education looking on down on those that don't. You know, you can be snooty and snobby and be poor. Come on, you can look down on rich people and be proud of the fact that you're not rich or proud of the fact that you're not educated. You can, that can go both ways. See, it's not exclusive to just... being greedy is not exclusive to people who have money. I know people who have no money, they're greedy.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless we think Nicodemus, yeah, he had to fight that. If you go over the next chapter, that was third chapter of John. The fourth chapter of John was the one with this woman at the well. Remember that? Jesus went to the well. The disciples went to get something to eat. He's there by himself. This woman comes out. She obviously wasn't a high society woman. She'd been married 5 times and was living with a woman right then. Living with a man, excuse me, living with a woman. Well, today that probably would apply. But anyway, back then she was living with a woman, a man. Hey, you know what? This is funny. These solecisms or slips I'm making here. I went to the hospital to see Travis this afternoon, and it was pretty serious. The report was pretty serious. The doctors, you know, hadn't given a lot of hope. But, you know, hey, we're believing God. Doesn't matter. We're trusting God. So I'm in a hallway. Bert and I come around the corner of the hallway. Here comes Tracy. She's very serious. She comes up. She said, well, the doctor, there's so many doctors involved in the process. I mean, there's kidney doctors, transplant doctors, liver doctors, all kinds of doctors. And they're just like this, trying to get along. I mean, the head doctor went in and just stopped the whole process today and says, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do another procedure. He made the liver doctor mad, and I think they all got together. Finally, but now tomorrow they're going to do another procedure. It's not as intrusive, but whatever, he's healed. I remember my story. I'm going to tell it. Stay with me. So Tracy comes around. She walks up. She's serious. You know, I can tell a very serious situation. She says, well, I just want to tell you what happened. The head transplant doctor came in, and I'm going, whoa. Whoa. The head transplant doctor? My brain just went, psh. I didn't know they had head transplant doctors. And I was thinking... I mean, I stopped her. I just stopped her. You know, I'm a literalist. I think things very literally, you know. And when she said that, I went, no, my brain went, phew. I thought, did she mean heart? No, that's not right. There's nothing wrong with his heart. Whoa, stop. I just stopped her. I said, the what? And she looked at me, and Brenda's standing there thinking, what? The head transplant doctor? And then finally it dawned on me, the head of transplant. So anyway, I was telling the story about this woman who was living with a man, not a woman. I already had 5 husbands. And so she wouldn't be what we'd call just high society. She probably wasn't that educated. She was coming out in the middle of the day to get water in that well. And, you know, obviously she was hiding from the rest of the town. That wasn't the time to go get water. But she comes up, there's Jesus. She offered him water. And he says, woman, I have water. If you drank of, you'd never thirst again. And now I want you to pay close attention, because you can be too smart even when you're not real smart. And she said, Jesus? Or she says, sir, you don't even have a bucket. Hello? So lest we think, oh, yeah, Nicodemus, he's a big shot ruler. You know, he's really educated. He can be too smart. Oh, we can be too smart at every level of life. I don't care what social class you're at. You can be too smart to get a miracle. And she almost missed hers. Jesus told her, says, if you'd ask, if you go back and read that, he told her what the bucket was. Said, if you ask of me, I'd give you water you'd drink of and never thirst again. The bucket was asking.
That's right.
You got a bucket right here. You can fill it up or you can leave it empty.
Yeah.
Are you with me? But she finally did get right, obviously went back, witnessed to the whole town. The whole town showed up, remember? And when they saw the miracles that Jesus did, many of them said, well, we believe you not because of what she said, but because of the miracles we saw you do. So she had an effect, and she obviously got right, but initially she almost missed it by being too smart. And we can miss it by being too smart. Many times we limit God by having just a few ways he can move. We put our faith in him moving in one of those few ways, and one of all those ways begin to fall apart, then we have nothing left for God to do, because we've not only asked God to do something, we've actually told him how to do it. Whoo! Are you with me? See, don't tell God how to do it. Just believe God and trust God. I always say this, if you're believing God for a financial miracle, don't wear the grass out between the front door and the mailbox. It may come some other way. If it's a medical thing you're believing for, believe for the healing. If it comes through some surgery or medicine, or fine, praise God. If it doesn't, God has not died. He's still alive. He can do it any way he wants, supernaturally. Are you with me? We're believing him for a miracle. Are you with me? And that's financial. That's whatever case you want to come up with. And we have to understand we're trusting God here. We can't get too smart here. Let's don't get too smart. Brother Osteen used to always say this, and you know, you've heard this. My pastor, John Osteen, who's in heaven, used to always say, the greatest revelation I ever received from God is, God is smarter than I am. That's deep. You probably have to go and write that down somewhere. Think about that. Because you say you think you believe that, but you know, honestly, we probably don't believe that as much as we think we do. Because how many times we get in a mess, we give up, throw the towel in, we pray, nothing happens, and we quit. Because we've limited God to some certain way or some certain thing, or maybe put a deadline on a job or a financial miracle we need or whatever. And when that doesn't come through, see, our faith was not really in God's word. It was in this deadline or was in this thing or this way. Amen. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Hello. Y'all got some steel-toe boots on? This is for us, amen? Amen. I need to hear this. How many times we get so discouraged and so disappointed because not because God has let us down. I think most cases we've just put our faith in the wrong thing. We've tried. We not only tried to ask God for a miracle, but we actually tried to be God and how He could do it. You know, and let Him figure out how to do it. It's a lot better that way anyway. Because honestly, if you look at your life and your situation, your crisis, your need, you and your mind have four or five things that can happen to can make this work. But God's got a million ways to make it work. He's got ways you never even dreamed of. See, and if you get your faith in a way instead of just in God and His Word, then you're going to miss out on an answered prayer. You're going to miss out on a miracle because God may want to do it another way. It just doesn't matter to me how God does it. I don't care. I'm believing Him to do it. If I'm believing for healing, I'm going to believe for healing. If I'm believing for a miracle financially, I'm going to believe for a financial miracle. God may, you know, you may need a car. I don't know what it may be, but He may give you the car. He may give you the money. There are so many different ways that can happen. Amen. IRS check, insurance, settlement. You know, there's all, don't get locked in on something. Get locked in on God and trust Him. So Paul says here, I really am going to get the scripture. You know, I preached that first chapter, and he goes right on into the second chapter. He says, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with being accurate, scripturally speaking. There's nothing wrong with being eloquent, scripturally speaking. But just accuracy and eloquence is not what we need. We need actual power. There's nothing worse than just an accurate sermon that's dead and no anointing. Amen. I've preached them. I don't like them. Are you with me? I mean, I'm always going to preach the word. I'm always going to preach what God says. And I hopefully am going to preach up here with the anointing and have a presence and a power on me and a hook that's going to grab you and pierce your heart, you know, when you're out there listening. And that's what I pray for. I pray that God shows up. Because if He doesn't, stick the fork in, we're all done. It doesn't matter how smart we are or how accurate I make the message or how logical it is or how eloquent I am. If there's no anointing, if your heart's not pierced, if it's not moved, if your heart's not pricked, if your heart doesn't burn within you, you know, then it does no good. It's just my head talking to your head. And we're all a bunch of deadheads. Are you with me? And that doesn't really help us. We need to be pierced. We need our heart touched. We need the power of God in our services, on our sermons, on our messages, on what we say, on what we pray. I'm not talking about fabricating something. I'm not talking about just being theatrical. I'm not trying to say, let's just make it happen. I'm saying, let's walk in that presence, walk in that power. Let's put our faith in God and our faith in His power. Don't put your faith in someone's good looks or faith in someone's good speech or some faith in someone's wisdom. Put your faith in God and what He can do. Are you with me? That's what Paul is saying. He says, when I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or just eloquence. And I'm sure Paul was eloquence, but he didn't want them to get their faith in that. And he says, and of wisdom, or man's wisdom, because he was very wise, obviously, and used the word of God, you know, voraciously or profusely, or it was ubiquitous when he preached. I just threw that out to impress you. And that won't get you healed or saved or do one thing for you. It just make you think I'm pretty smart. But all that means was that he didn't want them to look at the wisdom he had naturally speaking. He didn't want them to look at his eloquence or proficiency of speech. He wanted them to put their faith and their trust in God. And he says, I did not come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thank God Jesus is risen from the dead. Thank God He shed His blood. Thank God He died for our sins. And I don't care how unpopular that becomes to talk about the blood and talk about the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. If Christ be not risen, your faith is vain and we are dead in our sins. Jesus has risen. The tomb is empty. He did shed His blood. So Paul's saying, I did not come to you with man's wisdom. You don't need man's wisdom. You don't need just smarts. You need faith. Hallelujah. Now this is good because all of us can believe. Every one of us can believe. Maybe all of us are not all that smart. Maybe we don't all have our hooks in the water. That's fine. If you can believe, you can get a miracle. Praise God. If you can trust God, that's all God's asking you to do. He's just asking you to believe Him. He's got all the smarts. He's got all the wisdom. He has all the ability. He's just looking for availability. Nobody is left out. This is not for the big shots. It's for all shots, big, small, and tall. Are you with me? It's for you and it's for me. And that's what Paul is saying here. And he says, second verse, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, God forbid you wouldn't have healings and miracles and change lives in church. Are you with me? This is the place where miracles happen. This is the place where people can get delivered and saved and set free. This is where people can get set free from alcohol and drugs and come out of sinful lives and whatever the case may be. This is the place where miracles happen. Hallelujah. This is the place where people are living testimonies and proof of the gospel. Church is full of people that are living arguments, as it were, living testimony, living letters written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, known and read of all men. You are the witnesses and the lights of God. You are, I am. And he says this, my speech, my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Thank God for what man can do, but man can't do everything. Thank God for the wisdom that man has. I thank God for the day we live in. You know, we live in a day where we have tremendous advancements in technology and scientific technology, electronic technology, medical technology. Man, it's amazing the things that we've come up with to help people live longer and get over certain diseases. Now, we hadn't found cures for everything. You have to realize we never have lost our need for a healer. With all the hospitals we built in the world, more people die in hospitals than any other building we build. So that hasn't solved all the sick problems, but there have been a lot that it has done, and we give God the glory for that. We give God the glory for that. And even when you think about psychologists and psychiatrists, that's probably one of the highest suicide rates in any profession is in that profession. So we hadn't lost our need for a peace giver because we have psychiatry and psychologists. We hadn't lost our need for a healer just because we have doctors and hospitals. Thank God for all that. We're for medicine. We're for doctors. But we've never lost our need for a healer. See, our needs are still the same and our answer is still the same, and it's still Jesus. Are you with me? And we need the power. We need to put our faith in the power of God. Even when we go, you know, say to a doctor or a financial advisor or a marital counselor, whatever the case may be, there are reports that we hear, there are records that they give with their wisdom, and they're honest, they're being as true as they can and helpful as they can and compassionate as they can, but they're limiting themselves to that field of knowledge. With all the reports, you know, sometimes they can't even help us. And the question is, do we have our faith in their wisdom, or do we have our faith in the power of God? Now, if our faith is in the power of God, then it doesn't matter what their report is. That if it's good, fine, we'll take that and give God the glory. If it's not good, it doesn't change what we're believing, because our faith is not in their wisdom, but in the power of God. Catch it? It's real important to get a hold of that, because, you know, we do believe in doctors, and we believe in medicine, and we believe in all that man can do. We're on the same side here. We're not against each other. But we also know that where they're limited, God's unlimited. Hallelujah. And when they run out, we don't run out. Praise God. And when that report's, you know, over and finished, we got another report. We got the report of the Lord. Whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. God can do it, and He'll do it over and over and over again if we keep our faith and our trust in God. So He says here that your faith, fifth verse, should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I believe that. And you know, my faith's not even just in a scripture. Now, don't twist what I'm saying here. My faith is in the power of God to do what He says in the scripture. My faith's not in a written scripture, just a promise. My faith is in the One who made the promise. Now, I need to know the promise. I need to know the Word. I need to find the scripture, study to show myself approved to God. I need to meditate in the Word day and night, as the psalmist says. Then I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. I need to be that man, be that woman, if you're a woman, that stays in the Word, yes. But the point is, we put our faith in the One who made the promise, in the power of God to bring it to pass. See, this is not a magic book. Are you with me? Where we just pick out things and say them and they happen. Oh, no, no, no. This is God's Word. And so when we get into it and grab a hold of what He says, we're trusting Him, I hope, and putting our faith in Him. Because this is the Bible only to the extent that it takes you to Jesus. If it doesn't take you to Jesus, if you leave Him out of the equation, then it's just an intellectual book. It's just a formula. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of Me, and you will not come to Me that you might have life." So if we're going to the healing promises of God, we got to get to the healer. Are you with me? And we're trusting the healer to do what He said in His promises, so you need the promises, you need the Word, but it's just like a map. It's not the place. You know, a map's not a place. A map just tells you how to get to the place. That's all. And so the Bible's a map to God. It's a map to the promises. It's a map to the One who made the promise. A map to the healer. A map to the peace giver. A map to the life giver. The forgiver. Oh, hallelujah. And our faith is in the power of God. The map won't get you there. The map tells you how to get there. And the map is not the place. The map just tells you where the place is. And the map is not the person. It tells you who the person is. Now, you need the map. Are you with me? You're catching this. Don't walk and say, "I don't need the Word." Oh, you've got to have the Word. You are lost as a goose in a snowstorm without the map. You don't know where you are. Hello. You got to get that, you know, if you're in a car, get that tom-tom going there where it talks to you. You know, you ever seen that tom-tom where they punch you in a place and it, I lost you there. Okay. No, I can tell the look on your face. I lost you completely. You're gone. The GPS satellite positioning thing. You know, you can put it in your car and you can punch an address and it'll actually tell you where to go. It tells you, go down this road, take a right. We were in Australia here just a couple weeks ago, and 3 or 4 weeks ago, however long ago. And we were going all over the state of Queensland before we went down to New South Wales. And the pastor that was driving us around all these churches we were ministering at had one of them in his car, and it had an Aussie accent. It was from Australia. You know, no worries. And so it obviously had an Aussie accent, and I just got tickled. I'd be talking to him, and it would interrupt me. Too honored, mate. Just take a right, mate. You know, And it just talks to you the whole time you're going, telling you where to go, you know. He said when he first got it, it had a woman's voice on it. And he said he had it changed because he'd been married for almost 40 years. He said, I've had a woman telling me how to drive for 40 years. I want a man's voice on it. And Ma says, that's pretty smart. But anyway, this tells us where to go, tells us what to do. And it will speak to us, no question. Proverbs tells us that it'll speak to us. I love that. If you get the Word of God inside of you, it'll talk with you. It'll talk to you. But it'll tell you to do something. Are you with me? It'll tell you what to do and what to stand on. And it'll point you to Him. It'll point you to put your faith in Him. See, that clears up everything when you get a revelation of God being your Father and a person. You know, it's more than a doctrine and a teaching. There's a lot of doctrine and teaching about Jesus, and we can talk about Him and talk about what He did, what He said, and all that. And if we'll do that. We do that. Sure. But see, you can know all there is to know about Jesus and not know Jesus. And when you get to heaven, He's not going to say, did you know about me? He's going to say, either I knew you or I did not know you. Amen. Are you with me? You know, Brenda, I could write a book about Brenda. Oh, believe me. It'd be good, too. I could write a book about Brenda. I mean, we've been married all these wonderful years. 34 years. This year. Got it, didn't I? All right. 34 years this year. I'm always happy when I get that right. And I could write a book on Brenda. I could tell you all about Brenda, see? But beyond all that, she's not a doctrine. She's not a teaching. She's not a book. She's a person. See, and Jesus is not a teaching. He's not a doctrine. Oh, He is that. We can't get into all that. But beyond all that, He is a person. And the question is, do you know Him? And another question is, are you trusting Him? Is your faith in Him? Is your faith in His power? And what He can do as a person. Would He help you? You know, it's like that lady said one time. She said, Lord, I don't know everything, and I don't know a whole lot. I just know if I was up there and you were down here, I'd sure help you. Well, you know, she had it right. That's a lot deeper than we tend to make it. We tend to complicate the matter, and it's really pretty simple. If we understand who God is, we know He wants to help us. How many times did Jesus use the analogy of a father and his children? He said, if a son comes up to you and asks for a piece of bread, would you throw him a rock and say, hey, chew on that, you know? Or if he asks for a piece of fish, would you throw him a scorpion and say, eat that? And then he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? That's Matthew the 7th chapter. And Luke the 11th chapter, it says, how much more shall He give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Ooh, that's a good one too. But the point is, the faith that Jesus was talking about there is faith in a person, faith in a power. Not faith in all the formula, faith in all the intellect, faith in all the wisdom of the world. No, our faith's not in that. Our faith's in the power of God. This God, our Father, that loves us, who comes through, who will come through, who does come through, hallelujah, who will come through again. You know, I was praying for Travis the other day, and Saturday, we were up at the hospital line. Walked in and as I was praying for him, I don't know, this came to me as I was praying for him. I saw like a little baby or a little child. Now he's out playing with his daddy, and his daddy either has him on his leg and doing the horsey or whatever, or something along those lines, or throwing him up in the air, and the little child saying, do it again, Dad, do it again, do it again. And as I was praying for Travis, I realized how many miracles Travis has had in his life. Kidney transplant, pancreas transplant. I mean, without the power of God, he'd been dead years ago. He's a living testimony miracle, living proof of what God can do. Are you with me? And besides all that, even without the transplants, he wouldn't be alive. Travis should have died so many times. The doctors have called in the family so many times. He was on the edge of death so many times. I mean, he had a severe case of diabetes since he's a child. And I mean, it has he's fought and had miracle after miracle after miracle. This church has prayed and stood. And as I was praying for him, I heard that, Do it again, Daddy. Just do it again. And I shared that with him, and I felt an anointing come on it when I said it. That he's had a lot of... You can get discouraged, see? You can get down because of repetitive, it just over and over. The bullets are flying. You're in the battle. I understand that. You know, we come in and we pray, and we're not there with you. You're in the pain every day, and you're fighting that battle every day. But the thing you have to fight is the idea, the lie, that this is going to go on forever. It's not. Okay? Or that God's not going to get you through this one. Oh, no, He is. He'll do it again and again and again. And we're believing God is going to have to stop doing it because he gets total health. Hallelujah. I'm not believing for a repetitive doing it again. But we're not believing for repetitive failure either. Repetitive problem and sickness and disease. He'll do it again because he's a good God. He's a good daddy and he delights in it. Hallelujah. He wants to do it. Are you with me? And my faith stands right there in this good God. When it comes to a miracle I need, or I need him to visit my house, or I need him to deliver me, or set me free, or help me. My faith is in him and in his power. Not in all the million ways that it could happen or won't happen. No. My faith's in God. And that's what Paul said. I want your faith to stand not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. That's where our faith should be. Amen. You know, should I go a little further here? Goodness gracious. You know where he goes on, talks about the princes of this world. This is what amazes me. The devil thought he was so smart, so intelligent, smarter than God, thought he was actually going to thwart the plan of God. He killed Jesus. What he did not realize was that was the very thing Jesus came to do. I said earlier, and I've heard it before, he thought he buried Jesus and he just planted him. What you plant comes back up. And it always comes back up more than you put it in. I mean, look at all the other Jesuses that came out. I mean, I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but we're his family, we're his body, we are carrying on the message, hallelujah. I mean, the devil has a nightmare now. Where he had one person out there healing the sick, raised dead, casting out devils, and preaching the gospel. Now he has got millions upon millions of them all around the world shining their light, hallelujah. See, what he thought he did to stop it was actually multiplied it in his ignorance. In his wisdom, he was a fool. I remember growing up and thought I was wise. I thought I was so cool, but I was such a fool. Yeah, I mean, everything I did I thought was cool, and it was the stupidest thing I could have done. The most self-destructive things I could do, I thought was cool. Everything I thought was made me look cool, look wise, street wise, whatever the case may be, was killing me. And the things I made fun of and thought was foolish, God, his word, serving God, living holy, living right, those were the things that were going to make me live. But you know, I quit being a fool. Amen. And I started really being cool. I accepted Jesus, started living for Jesus. You know, I love what Proverbs says, I believe the 17th chapter, around the 27th verse right in there, it says, he that holdeth his peace is counted wise. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. I think the Amplified says he has a cool or excellent spirit. I found out what being cool was. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, anyway, we find out here the devil was too smart to get it. He was way too smart. In fact, it says in this 1 Corinthians 2, I am coming to a close. Y'all just stay with me. I just don't know when I'm going to close. It says, 6th verse says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are come to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers or princes, he's talking about demonic powers here, he's not talking about natural kings and priests or rulers, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See that? They thought they were smart stopping this thing by killing Jesus. No, they just started a nightmare for them. Amen? And birthed this whole thing. Because Jesus came to die. He came to die and rise again. He came to go like a seed into the ground to come back up better than he went in. And it says here, y'all know this. 9th verse, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. You know that? You know, they even have a song about that. It's negative, it's not right, the way they sing it. They talk about when you get to heaven, you'll find out everything. I have not seen, ear hath not. You remember that song? Anybody heard that song? Thank God you hadn't heard that song. Because that way you don't know how terrible I just sang it and what a sloppy job I made of it. But anyway, what they're saying is that one day we get to heaven, we'll find out. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I have not seen, ear not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, our wisdom, our knowledge, our ability, the things that God's prepared for those that love him. But God, next verse, 10th verse says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, by His Spirit. In other words, you weren't smart enough, but if your heart's open enough, if you'll trust God, if you'll believe God, God will show you some things. Hallelujah. You can be too smart to get it, but you can't be too dumb to get it if you'll just trust God. Get it? Your eye hadn't seen, your ear hadn't heard. No, you hadn't figured this out in the natural. Nothing has entered into your mind that could even come close to what God has prepared for us who love Him, but God has revealed them things He's prepared for us that love Him by His Spirit, for His Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him, it goes on to say. Now think about this. I don't know what's going on inside of you, but you know what's going inside of you. I don't know what you're thinking right now. You may be thinking, man, is he ever going to be quiet and let me go home? You may be thinking, man, this is good. I'm loving this. Or you may be thinking, wow, I didn't eat anything before I came. I can't. What am I going to eat when I get home? I don't know what you're thinking, see. I don't know. What man knows the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? See, only the spirit of Chad knows what's going on inside Chad. That's it. I mean, he put a good look on me here. And I don't know. I think he's eating it up, loving it. Yeah. Oh, amen. That's good. There you go. I'll try. Throw that watch away. Okay. But see, what's inside of you knows more than anybody outside of you. Well, now, follow the point. He says, what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man saver but by the Spirit of God. You don't get smart enough to figure God out. You just have to get over there with the Holy Ghost. Start rubbing shoulders with the Holy Ghost. Start praying. Start getting in His presence. And you know, God will show you things that you couldn't have figured out in your head, that no man's smart enough to get, that no eye can see far enough to see, no ear can hear enough. But God can show you, because God reveals these things by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, save but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received, that's you, that's me, that's all of us. This is good stuff. This will set you free. You don't need to be intimidated anymore. You don't need to feel demeaned or degraded or down anymore, less than anybody anymore. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God. The Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hello? You know how I know God? By the Holy Ghost. How do I understand these things? By the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm just so smart. No, you're not. You're not smart enough to get it. I'm not smart enough to get it. None of us are smart enough to get it. But the Holy Ghost can show us. And if you'll open your heart up, and if you'll spend time with God, God will show you what you never could have found out and never could have known any other way. And everybody else is going like a calf looking at a new gate. See, and you can look this thing in the eye and say, I see that, I see that, hallelujah, that's going to happen for me, I believe it, praise the Lord, oh God, thank you. That's why when we get a revelation, we say, oh, I see that. Isn't that right? When it comes alive, you go, oh, amen, woo, man, whoa, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Come on. Come, oh, I, hey, whoo, wow, you just run out of stuff to say, you know. You got it, you saw it. Well, you didn't get smart enough to get that, the Holy Ghost showed you that. You opened your heart up, you came expecting, you came hungry, you came willing to be to learn and to be changed, and God came through because He's looking for those kind of people. Amen. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. And here it is, I'll close out, last verse. You ready? But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. You know why? He's too smart. Knows too much. See, we're too smart. See, we're too smart. No, no, no. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or understood. You got to believe this. You don't get smart enough to figure this out. You got to believe this. And if you got any sense, stay with me on this point. If you got any sense at all, you will believe it. What do you do when somebody comes in smarter than you are? You listen to them. Well, when you get the revelation God knows more than you are, you'll start listening to them. We struggle so much with the Word, and it's really, real simple. If you really know that God's smarter than you are, then you'll just be quiet and listen, and you'll accept what he says. But it's because we're too smart that we don't listen. You can be too smart to get this, but you can't be too dumb to get it if you'll just accept it. Amen?